Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to Weekend Edition. Starting out with a major heavyweight. Bill Holder is with us right now. Bill, you're now working with Jim Sinclair, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
Interesting man, to say the least, as are you. Having said that, interesting situation tomorrow in Greece with the referendum. Very interesting situation vis-a-vis Puerto Rico and their debt. We're recording this thing just a little bit earlier in the week, but so far this hasn't had a major effect on the markets. But I got to tell you, I think it will sooner rather than later. What do you think, Bill?
Well, I've actually written a couple pieces in the last 4 or 5 days that none of this is in the market. It's not in the equity markets. It's not in the Forex markets. It's not in the credit markets. Both situations, Greece and Puerto Rico, certainly are going to have CDS and other derivatives attached to them. So depending upon how these go, and when I say how these go, Greece is basically defunct. They are bankrupt. They're going to default. Now, will they call it a default? I don't know. But if they do call it a default, you're looking at literally 10 times what they have outstanding in debt, which is 320 billion euros. They've got over 3 trillion euros versus of CDS that will trigger. And I assure you, there's not an extra 3 trillion euros floating around to be paid out to winners on those contracts.
Now, Bill, what about the argument that, first of all, people should have, and I'm sure a number of them have seen Greece going down this road, the default road, and also the fact that a lot of the debt that Greece has, the vast majority of that, is actually held within the ECB and the IMF. And when you look at their overall balance sheets, they can, or at least it can be argued, that they can stomach that sort of a write-down.
Yes, it's the bulk is held by the ECB themselves. The way I understand it is, as long as Greece stays in the Eurozone, that debt can stay with the ECB. If Greece exits the Eurozone, and this is the argument that's been going on for the last 2 days, is it now seems like ECB wants Greece to leave, because if Greece leaves, then all of that debt goes back to the individual banks that bought them in the first place and then swapped them out to the ECB. And as I understand it, no country in the Eurozone can actually be kicked out. They can leave, but they can't be kicked out.
Greece defaulting and subsequently Greece leaving the Eurozone is going to cause a major disruption in the financial markets in a negative sense. I don't think that's the case at all. I think that when this thing gets sorted out, I think the Eurozone actually will become stronger. Don't you?
I understand what you're saying, and normally if one of the weaklings gets off the bus, the remainder is stronger. That's common sense and normally the case. But here they're leaving at least a 320 billion euro black hole behind them. It's going to hit somebody's balance sheet somewhere, whether it be the ECB or whether it be the original owners, the original banks that bought the debt. Somebody's going to have to eat the loss, and somebody's going to have to repair their balance sheet. So I'm not as sanguine as you are, Al.
Now, Bill, what do you think the potential is that when Greece leaves, we have a trickle-down effect? So it's either Spain or Italy next, and the fact that Is there another country out there, potentially, say, Russia or China in some sense, that picks up Greece and changes this whole dynamic?
Oh, absolutely. I've said all along is that I believe Greece will ultimately pivot toward Russia, China, and the BRICS. There's no question in my mind. To answer your first question, I would say there's a 99.9% probability, you could even say 100% probability, that either Spain, Italy, Portugal, Ireland, somebody's going to go the same path as Greece, because mathematically they can't pay their debt. So it's just a matter of time as to when they become the next Greece.
I happen to agree with that 100%. It is just a matter of time. But the question then becomes, you know, you go back to the old saying, only the strong shall survive. And maybe that's exactly what's going on right now, Bill, in terms of the Eurozone. I mean, Greece, Italy.
I have a theory on that, Al. I believe there's a very good chance that the Eurozone is going to split into two parts.
Of course.
The Northern Euro and the Southern Euro. You're going to have Belgium, Netherlands, Germany, you know, the northern countries in a northern euro, which will be the strong euro. And then you've got, if you want to call them the lazy countries, the weaker countries, and this would also include France, because France, just over the last week or two, it looks like their financial numbers are way worse than we thought. But you've got Spain, Portugal, Italy. They're going to be part of the southern euro, and that's going to be a weaker currency, I think.
Now, do you think, Bill, that this would actually work? Because we do keep on talking about, you know, the failure that is the euro experiment. Do you think that dividing it into two would work? Because it does sound good in theory.
In the end, no. Broke is broke, and no matter what you do, you know, unless you get a gift, if you want to call it that. I mean, you can't borrow more money to make yourself unbroke.
But a lot of people think you can, man. How stupid
right,
is that?
But that's not the case. I mean, you really, you can't take on, and that's what they've been trying to do for the last 6 years globally, is to take on more debt to make the past debt good. And it clearly doesn't work.
Yeah, I would agree with that there, Bill. I guess bringing it back to where we started, what do you think should be happening in the markets for it to, in your eyes, be pricing in the default of the Greek system and then also the potential default of Puerto Rico?
The only solution, and historically you can see this has been done in the past, the only real solution, and this would probably not work for the U.S. because I believe that the U.S. has already gotten rid of all their gold. But if gold were marked up to pick a number, and I have no idea what the number is, $10,000, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 per ounce, I don't know what the number is. But if you look at the gold that Germany holds, all the European nations, Germany, France, Italy, etc., if they were to mark gold up to a huge number, it would basically re-liquefy their balance sheet.
Okay.
And it would devalue their currency, and thus making bets easier to pay. You have your balance sheet re-liquefied, and the existing debt becomes easier to pay off via devaluation versus gold.
I do see where you're going with that, Bill, and that would, I guess, be one way. Unfortunately, it's hard for me to see that happening right now. I continue to think that these central banks will just keep this game going simply because they have, and I still think they can for a little bit longer, because as much as we like to talk about a loss of faith in the system, no one's exactly running to gold right now for the protection that we would usually see back in history. But that's just what's happening.
Are they
now,
or are they not? You have to ask yourself that question.
Unfortunately, Bill, we got to wrap this up right here, but let's continue this topic.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN. You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we got to move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now, online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dory, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
Gold isn't for you?
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Healthy elimination is essential to high energy, a cheerful mood, and prevention of disease. Some of the founders of our modern holistic health thinking state that disease begins in a toxic colon. A toxic intestinal tract is the foundation for virtually all degenerative disease, and a clean and well-moving intestinal tract is the foundation of health.
I just want to say that you folks have an amazing product. I've taken whey protein products for years, and I've never noticed results I have with your product. I've suffered with thoughts of constipation most of my life. Within a few days of taking One World Whey, I noticed a dramatic change. Also, in the past few years, I've experienced symptoms associated with diabetes. I feel horrible when I've had too much sugar, and I've been getting the foot pain as well. But I've noticed in the past week or so, I'm not feeling bad anymore, and the foot pain is gone. I'm just finishing up the 5 pound tub I ordered and just got off the phone ordering more. I love your product. Thank you.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing our discussion with Bill Holter. Bill, we had to cut you off at the tail end of the last segment, but we did get into how you thought the market should be pricing the Greek default as well as a Puerto Rican default. And you were saying something along the lines of gold needing to regress to its true value so that these countries could actually work towards paying off their debts. You want to continue along those lines?
Yeah, you had mentioned that gold is not acting like the safe haven that it should be. If you recall, 2 days ago, Zero Hedge put out an article showing how in the first quarter alone, J.P. Morgan increased their derivatives positions on precious metals over $3 trillion. Now, we don't know whether it was long, whether it was short, whether it was both sides. I'm sure it was both sides. But $3 trillion notional value. Do the math on that. You're talking about an $80 billion gold market. So that's, what, 30? That's almost 40 years worth of global gold production. J.P. Morgan put paper products on top of. In other words, somehow, some way, they've collared it.
Now, Bill, along that line, we have seen this happen on numerous occasions, I would say, throughout the last, well, number of years, 5-6 years. And that's all thanks, I guess, to the paper markets that are out there, correct?
Really, for the last 4 years, since August to November of 2011, the game changed. And gold and silver were turned down. You can say, there are people that say, oh, there's no manipulation. That's like an impossibility because we've had over 100% of global production of silver was sold, I think it was in April of 2013, was sold in less than 36 hours. Now, who has 800 million ounces of silver to sell? That's the first question. And if you had it to sell, who would dump it the way they dumped it? Wouldn't they trickle it out and try to get the best price instead of trying to knock silver down $10?
Well, the only comment that I would make is to try and understand. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I happen to agree with what you're saying. But the thing that I find intriguing, thought-provoking, for lack of better terms, is that when you look at the markets, the precious metals markets, and we focus on gold and silver here, not necessarily the other ones, but they are very difficult markets to understand and rationalize, for me anyway. I think I know where they're coming from, but I got to tell you, I have to buy gold and silver for entirely different reasons than short-term trading profits. They're just too complicated for me.
I don't ever buy for short-term trading profits.
Right.
The reason to buy it is insurance, and they're giving you insurance incredibly cheap. They're giving you insurance subsidized, if you want to call it that. There are 100 paper ounces outstanding in both gold and silver for every one real ounce underlying that paper. And
yep.
When the music stops in this game of musical chairs, you got 99 people or 100 people trying to get into that one chair. What's going to happen to physical metal when you've got 99 people who thought they had metal trying to get their metal, along with other people that all of a sudden wake up and say, oh my gosh, the markets are crashing, I better do something to protect myself.
Well, I mean, anybody who has any level of expertise whatsoever in this particular area, and we like to think that we do, I mean, you certainly do. I mean, yeah, it's going to be a real interesting game at that particular moment in time. I find it interesting, though, your theory about balance sheets, et cetera, of sovereign countries and how they relate to gold. I find that to be absolutely fascinating, Bill.
Well, it's been done throughout history. It was done in the U.S. The U.S. called in gold at $20.67 an ounce, and 2 weeks later, they revalued it to $35. So they created a 75% cushion. You know, they printed dollars, gave the dollars out to the people who turned the gold in, and then marked it up 75%. It's the same thing.
But
we're trying to get inflation.
You know, it's
funny,
but
that's what they need to do now. They need to reflate. The world is desperately trying to reflate, but they can't.
Yeah, it's funny how people have a tendency to keep diminishing the real importance of gold and silver. But what you're bringing up right now is really how important it is today. It's no different today than it has been for the last thousands of years. I mean, yeah, the value is different, but the level of importance in the financial world is really, really significant when it comes to gold and to a large extent silver, in my opinion on that anyway.
I agree wholeheartedly. Craig Hemke at TF Metals made the statement a couple months back that gold has never, ever been more valuable than it is now. And it's how you define the word valuable that's important. Valuable meaning important or an absolute necessity. You have to have it to get your to transfer your wealth from where we are now to where whatever the new system is going to be, because it will be a new system.
Bill, along the lines of gold being valuable and then also countries' balance sheets, which country out there do you think is strong in terms of their financial system, their economy, and their gold holdings?
You've got to say, I'm going to say China, obviously number one, because they, on the back of a napkin, you can show how they've got at least 10,000 tons of gold. They do also have a lot of debt, and over the last few years, people have seen them build ghost cities and go, you know, those crazy Chinese. Well, it's not so crazy, because most all of that was built with debt. So when this debt pyramid collapses, and the debt basically evaporates, implodes, whatever word you want to use, they're left with new bridges, they're left with new airports, they're left with new cities. And I do believe that China will mark the price of gold higher, and they will back their yuan on a ratio. I don't think it'll be one-to-one, but I do believe that they're going to back their yuan by gold.
And you know, I got
convinced they have at least 10,000 tons.
You know, I got to tell you, I agree with you 100% on that one, and I have felt that way since probably about 2004, 2005. I think the canary in the coal mine when it comes to what's going on in the gold market right now very definitely is demand out of the Far East. It's interesting how important the Chinese really are in this whole game, and I think your comments about, you know, at some point in time, the Chinese are going to be left with new cities, they're going to be left with new bridges, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's something that a lot of people discount, to say the least. Anyway, listen, thanks so much for your time, man. We appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, right after the break, Corey and I are going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Have you ever wondered if you could make electric, light, or heat in your home for free? How about a motor that charges batteries at the same time? What if this also restores useless batteries and saves you lots of money? Come to our Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on August 15th and 16th in Fort Lauderdale. Visit r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-304-2954. 208-304-2954.
It's very easy to be a criminal. All you need to burglarize a home is one simple household tool, a pair of scissors. If your home security system can be compromised by a criminal using scissors, then you're making it easy for them. Almost every home security system, even those sold by big-name companies, has a weakness: the phone line. You shell out $1,500, get locked into a long-term contract, and think you're safe. But a burglar can destroy your alarm in seconds with one snip. And when a burglar cuts your phone line, you're defenseless. SimpliSafe Home Security is the smarter choice. Built by Harvard engineers, SimpliSafe uses a wireless connection to call the cops. Scissors can't cut it. And that means your home stays safe. 24/7 professional monitoring is under $15 a month with no contract. SimpliSafe Home Security keeps you safer than the other guys for half the cost. Protect your home with the alarm you can trust. SimpliSafe. Go to SimpliSafeDefense.com now for an exclusive 10% offer. That's SimpliSafeDefense.com.
Hi, Peter Porcaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey, neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendivite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendivite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendivite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendivite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendivite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You are continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Al had to step out of the recording studio for this segment only. So it's just going to be myself and Gary Christensen, the Deviant Investor. I recommend anybody out there listening to go check out Gary's website, deviantinvestor.com. Some great reads, mostly focused on the precious metals. So that's what we're going to chat about here. Gary, your last article, entitled Silver About to Turn More Volatile. Can you break it down why you think this is going to happen?
Well, yes, in several terms. If you look at the history of silver, and I'm talking about 40 years of history, not 4,000 years, if you look at the history of silver for 40 years, in really simple terms, you can say silver spends 80 to 90% of its time doing very little and 10 to 20% of its time going crazy. And I decided to quantify that a little bit. So I just quantified back about 15 years of data, and actually I quantified more than that, but I took the last 15 years for my sample pattern here, and I took the deviation of silver prices from its 200-day moving average and looked at what those were in terms of percentages. And mostly when you look at the chart, you just see, well, nothing much is happening. It's 10% it's off, it's 5% it's off, and by 10% and 5%, I mean total deviation. It could be either higher or lower. It doesn't matter. I'm just looking at deviation. But the interesting stuff is when you get up to 35 and 40% deviation. And of course, that means either silver spiking higher or silver's crashing lower. And, you know, the examples of that, April 6th of 2004, it was about 45% above the 200-day moving average, clearly a spike higher. April of 2006, a 69% deviation. March of 2008, a 45% deviation. Again, these were highs. And then we come to the crash in October of 2008. Remember, in 2008, we had our financial crash, and everybody's very aware of that. But gold and silver also crashed during that period of time. And we can go into why, you know, lots of opinions as to why. But the bottom line is that silver and gold crashed. I imagine there were lots of margin calls. But at that point, silver dropped 45%. Below its 200-day moving average, which is a pretty substantial move below. You look at these deviations, and you say, my, it's a lot of deviation. And then it turns out that the last major break was in 2011, at the very end of April, when silver hit its near $50 high, you know, its 30-year high in price. That was a 74% deviation above its 200-day moving average. Clearly a spike high, and then you expect that things will collapse after that, which they did. And so we've had very little, using the measure I've used here, volatility, since April of 2011. That's 4 years. Very little volatility. If you look at the chart, you can see that volatility has peaked on average about every 2.5 years. So we're 4 years away from a peak in volatility. There was a minor peak in June of 2013. So I'm just saying that it looks to me like the cycles for prices and the cycles for volatility indicate that we're heading into a period of time here sometime in the next 3 to 9 months when we have more likely chances of seeing significant volatility. And in this case, the volatility will be to the high side probably. You know, who can really predict when in a world of high-frequency trading and central market manipulation? But that's the way I would read it, as those are more likely. Am I making sense so far?
Yeah, I believe so, Gary. And this is actually interesting, the timing that you're talking about, because there are a number of pundits out there who are calling for a pretty significant correction in the conventional markets within this 6 to 9 months. Some people even are calling for it earlier. So that leads me to believe that maybe this volatility will be more widespread than just silver and hit all the metals and then the conventional markets. And then that leads me to one comment that you made about the crash back in 08 and how the precious metals got hit quite significantly. Are you in the boat that says this time it's going to be different and then people will, instead of rushing out of the precious metals, whether it be margin calls or just the need for cash, that they will rush in and we could see the opposite movement this time?
Well, in terms of emotional desire, I'm clearly in the boat to say it's going to be opposite this time. In terms of rational analysis, I'm not so sure. It looked to me like in 2008 that the panic started in the S&P and the standard stocks, and then at that point people did what they had to do, which was they had to meet margin calls, and they met margin calls by selling the only good stuff they had, which at that point was silver and gold. So silver and gold got crushed in that, and this is a very simple-minded interpretation, but I think that's a significant factor as to why silver and gold went down, because the markets are made not in the real physical markets, they're made in the coma and then in London, and people had to meet margin calls, so that's what they sold. But then shortly thereafter, the markets rebounded hard and came right back up. You know, we went from silver under $10, actually under $9 back in October of 2008, to approaching $50 2.5 years later, and there's that 2.5 years point, in April of 2011. I'm thinking that we're going to have massive volatility sometime in the next 3 to 9 months. And, you know, who knows what that really is. But I'm thinking that we're due in terms of timing. If you look at the S&P, you can see that it's running a 7 to 8 year cycle, and we're peaking now. If you look at the dollar, we've seen a cycle peak on the dollar that's, I forget, 11, 12, 13 years. I've got articles on that point. And that peaked, you know, a few months ago. There's lots of things that indicate in terms of cycles, that we could be looking for some downside momentum in the S&P, downside momentum in the other stocks. Bonds have already shown that they're vulnerable, and they're looking like they could take a downside move. And I'm thinking that currencies will be at the center of some of this. And then as a secondary factor, that probably means gold and silver volatility. And at this point, I'm looking for people to want to bail out of traditional things, S&P and stocks and bonds and so forth, and move money into something safe that has no counterparty risk. And that sounds to me like gold. It doesn't sound to me like Puerto Rican bonds, for instance.
Boy, does it ever not. No, or nothing in Greece either, at least right now. But, Gary, it sounds like we have the same mentality on a lot of the markets, but unfortunately there's no saying for sure if people will rush into the safe haven play. Unfortunately, I'm a bit worried that if we do see a big correction in the markets, that, you know, that will lead to some precious metals selling. Now the comeback from that would be strong, just like we saw right after the 2008 crash, but unfortunately, there could be some tough times ahead, and that's why I think you need to either be holding precious metals for the long term, do not be looking to trade them, or use that money for any sort of margin calls. But that being said, you know, it sounds like our timing is showing that something big is going to happen, whether it is the tail end of this year or early 2016. People need to be well aware that cycle-wise it's setting up, a lot of technical-wise, people are saying that, and even fundamentally, there are definitely cracks and weaknesses in the system. And we are in luck, Gary. We just had Al walk back into the studio. Al, I know that you were listening to at least the tail end of this interview. What's your comments on volatility entering the markets in the next, say, 3, 6, 9 months, and people eventually flooding their money into the precious metals for safety?
Well, a lot of our guests, Corey, certainly feel that way. I mean, you know, you look at somebody like, for example, Michael Belkin. You know, Michael is very, very much a proponent for that, as are a lot of other people. I think that that could very well be the case, but the reason I would put a little bit of caution into that is, as many of our members on our forum have said, it's hard to say how long our economy can keep going in the direction that it's going in right now with the amount of oversight that's going on by the central bankers, and I would say that's something that really has to be considered. So maybe we're not that close to the rush to solidarity with the precious metals.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Honey, it's time for dinner. What are you doing over there on your computer?
I'm shopping for a new wallet. Mine is falling apart. Hey, did you know there's a company called ID Stronghold that makes shielded wallets to prevent electronic pickpocketing?
Oh, I didn't realize there was such a thing as electronic pickpocketing. What is that?
Well, apparently, many of the new credit and debit cards being issued have radio chips inside them called RFID that transmit our banking information to card readers when we pay. Unfortunately, a bad guy can also get one of these readers and go around the city scanning people, collecting their credit card numbers and personal information without us knowing it.
Wow, that sounds scary. Since you're getting a new wallet anyway, you should definitely get an ID Stronghold shielded wallet. Are they more expensive?
No. In fact, I can get a shielded leather wallet from IDStronghold.com for the same price or less than regular unshielded wallets from other stores.
Sounds great. My wallet isn't falling apart yet, but let me pick one out too. I want to be protected, and these wallets at IDStronghold.com look fantastic.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hey, welcome back here. Wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. Corey and I are chatting with Dan Oliver right now. Dan, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell our new listeners, if you would, a little bit about who you are and what your background is.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm a former lawyer. Got my MBA and then joined the commodities business with a private equity firm down in Latin America in the last cycle in 2007 and 8. And that gave me a very swift education on commodities. I switched my focus to gold, and I now run a little fund in the gold mining space. And I'm also president of the Committee for Monetary Research and Education, which was a group founded in 1970 by Henry Hazlitt and company, people who were very against the Bretton Woods monetary arrangements and warned against the coming inflation of the 1970s. And that's a great organization that really brings together a lot of the hard money people who have been around in that intellectual space the past 40 years, 45 years, talking about how destructive the Fed policies are and what we need to do to reform the monetary system, the financial system, to avoid some of the, I think, bad outcomes that are on their way.
Well, that's certainly something that Corey and I have believed in for an awful long time. Me going back for more years than Mr. Fleck has even been around, I have to say. Having said that, on Thursday, the unemployment numbers from June came out. Let me just give you a direct quote here. Total non-farm payroll employment increased by 223,000 jobs, and the unemployment rate declined to 5.3%. Why the heck is anybody worried about the conventional markets? I mean, everything is coming up roses, Dan.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, a lot of people look at the unemployment numbers to gauge how well the economy is doing. But I think it points to a fundamental problem with the Keynesian consensus, which is that the Keynesians think as long as we're all busy doing things, that that's great for wealth production. As long as if we build bridges across rivers to nowhere, it adds to GDP, and it's all very wonderful. But, of course, the economy doesn't work that way. What people really care about is, are they generating wealth? Are they satiating consumer demand? And as I mentioned to you before the show, I was interested to go back to the Fed Reserve's website to look at the unemployment rate before the crash of 1929. And in August of 1929, the Fed records an unemployment rate of 0.04%. So basically zero. Over the next 3 years, that rises from zero to 25% at the bottom of the Great Depression. And I would point out that October 1929 was a terrible time to be in the financial markets. It was right that the stocks peaked in September, and they went down 90%. Whereas when the unemployment rate was 25%, it was a fantastic time to be in the market because everything had corrected and the country would start rebuilding again. All of the malinvestments, all the activities that people were doing and shouldn't have been doing were erased. And this has a direct parallel with 2006 and 2007, where the unemployment rate was very low because everyone was employed building houses. But it turned out we didn't need more houses. The reason they were building houses is because the artificial pricing set by the Federal Reserve and the interest rate enticed people to go build houses that people didn't really want. So everyone was busy doing things until finally the market rebelled and said, hey, guys, we don't want any more houses. And then all the people building houses were unemployed. And had the Fed allowed the economy to rebalance itself, those people would have found productive jobs doing productive things, and that would have been very healthy. Instead, the Fed came in and they manipulated prices again by changing the interest rate, and again, it convinced people to do things they shouldn't do because the savings doesn't exist to do it. And so now all those people are doing things again that they shouldn't be doing, like developing biotech stock, things that won't be ready for 30 years, as opposed to satiating immediate consumer demand. And that the market's going to rebel again, probably soon, and those people will be thrown out of jobs again, and hopefully this time the Fed will let the economy rebalance itself. But of course, given who's in charge, I highly doubt that will happen.
Well, Dan, the problem that I have with comparing the economy to the markets is that they are completely different beasts right now and almost unrelated in total. We have, I believe, the Fed more concerned about what the markets are doing than even what the economy is doing. And we can have these different data points that come out that, yeah, if you look at the jobs numbers, this shows a positive aspect in that respect. But we all know that the economy is not necessarily growing in the U.S., and it's not even really doing that well around the world. But the central banks are so interconnected right now with so much debt on the table that I think they need to keep these markets somewhat levitated, because that's where the big money is staying. And if the big money exits, then I think we all just end up moving down in a pretty significant fashion, which I guess could be good if you're looking at it from a let's let the market run themselves type of aspect.
Well, that's right. And to expand on that, I mean, one of the things that these reports do show is that the participation rate keeps going down. So people keep leaving the economy, and economists are flummoxed why this is. But let me tell you an anecdote, which was actually mentioned to me by a very, very senior banking official 2 weeks ago, which was apparently Chinese farmers are leaving their fields to go speculate in the stock market. The example was apparently some farmer had saved $8,000 over 20 years of work. And he put it all into the market, and it had doubled in less than a year. And so he rationally thinks to himself, why on earth would I waste my life doing the hard work of farming when I can put my money in the market and make free money, right? So he leaves the workforce. The participation rate goes down because now he thinks he's found money grows on trees. And, of course, what will happen is when the market collapses and is down 25%, I think, in the last week, right, when that farmer gets wiped out, and he loses not just his profit, but the $8,000 he spent 20 years saving, he's going to turn into a revolutionary, and all of a sudden the Chinese will become very unstable. And that's, we won't have quite the same magnitude, I think, in this country, but the ideal will be the same, where people who thought they could survive off their capital and they don't work because they think they have enough capital to live off of, we'll discover that, in fact, they don't, that their capital is gone. And if you go back to the workforce, they'll be very bitter and unhappy. And so, again, to your point, that this is a very dramatic instance of the market doing one thing in China and the United States going up, 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 and yet the economy doing something different, i.e. people not doing productive things, abandoning the workforce, for example, which obviously the market at some point has to be connected to the economy at some point. It can be divorced from it for certain periods of time because of central bank manipulation, but that can't go on forever. And so at some point, the two have to converge, and I think they're going to converge very much lower than where they are now.
You know, Dan, the average person in the street who I talk with is, unfortunately, most of the people who I talk with aren't the average person in the street. But having said that, I believe that the average person in the street doesn't believe that the markets are ever going to crash. I believe that they feel that the markets are just fine right now. You know, I'm getting tired of having to argue with these people because I simply don't believe that that is the case. We've got a lot of major pundits right now, Dr. Mark Farber, among other people right now, who are saying, look out for September or October of this year. The big one is coming. We're going to fall off the cliff just about at that point in time. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, I've been analogizing to 1929, partially because I've done a lot of research recently on that period. And one of the things that struck me was that, two things. One is people started warning as early as 1927 that the market was over, it was top, it was going to crash, right? So for 2.5 years, they were wrong. And the market went up, up, up. Actually, 1927 is exactly when the market started accelerating higher. So they weren't just wrong, they were dramatically wrong. And of course, by 1929 rolled around, it should have been obvious that it was a bubble. All the people who'd been saying that had no credibility left. And the second thing is that the first big panic after the Fed was founded was 1921. And in 22, the Fed actually printed a lot of money. They went up and bought a lot of government bonds to ease conditions, and it worked. And the market softened again in 1923, so they printed money again in 24, and they printed money again in 27. So every time the market weakened, the Fed ran in three times in that decade to print the money and bail the economy and the market out. And this was hailed as great management on the part of the Fed by Keynes and Irving Fisher and other folks like that. And so they were, Keynes and Fisher both lost their fortunes in the 29 crash because their assumption was that if the market weakened, the Fed was right to rescue again. And the problem is that the imbalances got so enormous that the Fed got spooked. I mean, I suppose they could have intervened again, but then you start running the risk of hyperinflation if you do that too often. So the Fed got spooked, it withdrew, and we got the Great Depression. And so it's very analogous to what our history is, where every time the market weakens in 2001 and 2009, the Fed runs in and prints money, but at some point the imbalances get so enormous that they get spooked and they let the whole thing collapse. And then the really two choices. One is the authorities let the market readjust and people start doing things again that makes sense and are rational and building wealth. The other outcome is a Hitler or Mussolini shows up and tells us all what to do. And my concern is that the level of power now in the executive branch of the government is so large that the temptation to do something will be so great that that's what happened. And I think that it's imperative that Americans understand what's happening so they can organize against that outcome when the crash happens.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
More and more people are discovering the incredible benefits of alkalizing the body, and there's no better product for it than AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds, just a few drops in water will rid your body of harmful waste and give you more vibrance and vigor than you've had in years. Now buy two bottles and get $10 off your order. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.